Thank you very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch. By the way, Ryan, we understood almost every one of those words, so good work with that. You're listening to the Business Lunch, a Friday edition. That means Tom Gimbel will be along a little bit later. And one of the things we want to talk to him about is the, well, Travis Kalanick, you know, left as Uber this week, and maybe it's time to, how do you read the tea leaves? How do you know? That's an idea we'll talk about with Tom. I want to talk about Travis Kalanick as well with Ben Meyerson, an editor at Blue Sky Innovation, who's in the studio with me now, but we're going to get to that in a bit. First of all, Ben, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Glad to be here, Steve, 2 weeks in a row.
So this was like the epicenter this week, wasn't it, for these, I don't know what you call it, the big name sort of Silicon Valley CEOs all in Chicago?
Everything revolves around Chicago this week.
This way it should be, my friend. All right, so Mark Zuckerberg was here, had this group session yesterday for Facebook, and he wants the world to be a happier place.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's interesting. So he wants to sort of reformulate the mission of Facebook, or what exactly are we talking about here?
Yeah, so they Facebook had its first ever community summit this week. Basically, what that means is they brought together the leaders of about 120 Facebook groups here. That ended up being about 300 people who had applied to come and learn all about how to be better group leaders on these.
Give me an example of what a group is, what you mean by
that. So a Facebook group, there could be one, for example, we talked to some folks. There's a woman who's here from Chicago who runs a group called Female IN, just basically a place for space for women to talk about all kinds of things they might not feel comfortable talking about elsewhere. There's a group of moms from Beverly who talk about places like pediatricians for their kids or where the best place is to go get a photo with Santa or something like that.
Right, okay. But these are influencer groups, the ones that were here in Chicago yesterday. They were the bigger ones.
Yeah, folks applied to come to this event in Chicago with Mark Zuckerberg.
And so, you know, I wrote in my notes, he's a divider. That's not fair. But Facebook and social media in a lot of ways has been used to divide people. Now here's Zuckerberg saying he wants to be a uniter. He wants to bring communities together. I would imagine that's going to be a challenge for him.
Yeah, Facebook's original mission, the way that Zuckerberg has framed it for a long time, is to connect as many people as they can in the world. Now they've done what they call a refinement of that mission. They announced it yesterday here in Chicago. They said it's to bring people closer together. Now, those sound a lot alike, you know, connecting people versus bringing them close together. What's the difference between connecting and bringing people together? They say it's more about intent. It's not just about literally connecting them to the internet, but connecting them to the internet and then to each other.
They have this phrase, meaningful groups, right?
Yes.
They got a billion or whatever on, but they've got only 100 million in a quote-unquote meaningful group. What is that, and why is that important to Facebook?
Basically, it's what they define a meaningful group is as something that defines their experience on Facebook, something that people spend most of their time to when they go to Facebook. You log on and you say, okay, today I'm going to go and check out XYZ, or the first thing you do on Facebook might be to check this page. Personally, I'm a big beer nerd, so whenever I go onto Facebook, there are a couple of groups that I'll look on and say, oh, hey, you know, what's going on this weekend? Who's got a special thing on tap or something?
So that could be a meaningful group to you.
Absolutely. I would say that if they're defining it, I'm probably the sucker that is at the center of
that. And the idea is they want to get more people involved in not just hearing about their neighbors and their friends and whatever, but in these meaningful groups.
Exactly, exactly.
All right, so tell me a little bit about being around the world of Zuckerberg. I almost forgot his name. Mark Zuckerberg, you know, the guy comes to town. He's sort of this Uber star in the corporate world, in the world. Is there a different feeling when you're covering that, when you're covering other events?
It was very much a big song and dance. They had a lot of lighting. They had totally redone this event space that the community summit was happening in. They had all kinds of theme music, and he walks in, and everybody, all these people who were there stood up and applauded. It was really like you were at like you were seeing Obama speak or something like that.
Okay, but you covered it. But was it a super secret place, or what's going on there?
Yeah, they've asked us not to say exactly where it is for security reasons, and they had quite a lot of security there. They had high black fences, trailers, a lot of security around.
I've covered presidents. I've covered Soviet Union general secretaries. I've covered princes. I don't think I've ever been asked not to disclose where I was.
Yeah, it was a curious situation. They had metal detectors and all that stuff, but it was a really interesting event to be at.
Ah, well, I'm glad you were there. I'm glad you could talk to us about it. We only got a minute or so left, sadly. But we're trying to figure out where Travis Kalanick was in Chicago as well. No one's quite sure what hotel he was at, but he got bad news when he was there.
Yeah. Travis Kalanick, Uber CEO, forced out this week by investors. But the thing that was kind of mysterious is, why was he here in the first place? He wasn't here specifically to get fired, to get forced out.
Right.
He was allegedly here to meet with people who might be good to tap as future executives for Uber. So we posted a piece on Blue Sky Innovation this morning, just kind of with some local tech thought leaders speculating, who could this be? So people came up with names like Margot Georgiadis, who's a former Google and Groupon executive and now CEO of Mattel. Her people have since denied it. The former CEO of Twitter is now has ties to Chicago. He also denied it. CEO of Groupon, some other folks around here. Just some interesting names tossing around. Who could it be?
And had they been meeting with him, it wouldn't have gone so well anyway, because the guy they were meeting with got fired later in the day.
Yeah, and the question is also, would this person theoretically, who was interviewed, also be up now to replace Mr. Kalanick?
We'll see. That's Ben Meyerson from Blue Sky Innovation. Thanks for coming by. We'll see you again soon. Are you going to be here ever again?
I believe I'll
be here.
Here in a couple of weeks.
All right. Have a good weekend. It's 12:22. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand here on a Friday afternoon. We've talked a lot about real estate this week. In fact, there were home sales numbers out earlier today. I think in the Midwest, they were down something like 25%. We'll talk to Barry Sterner, CEO of Townstone Financial, about what's going on in the world of mortgages coming up after a look at the headlines. But right now, this is the time, generally on Fridays, we say hello to Tom Gimbel, the CEO of LaSalle Network, and let's do that now. Hello, Tom Gimbel.
Hello, Steve Bertrand.
How's your week been so far?
So far, so good.
Better than Travis Kalanick's?
You know what? Well, he's got a lot more money than I do. I think he's going to be just fine.
You know, the guy has had some, well, I guess, I don't know. He's had some personal problems, obviously, death in the family,
yep,
which is terrible. And I was going to say he's had some rough issues with work, but it seems like maybe some of those issues were self-created. So.
Well, I think that if every employee acted a little nuts when their mom or dad died,
right,
the world would be a very different place. I mean, you get paid to be a professional and to compose yourself.
And so he was in Chicago, according to the Tribune, when a couple of the people on his board, his investors, showed up with a letter and said, you know, Travis, it's time.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a different take on this. I think that the board is as much, if not more so, responsible than he is.
Okay.
For all, you know, there's a timeline of all the executives that have departed over the past 90 days or so. And, you know, the board's job, they haven't gone public yet, but they took a lot of money from a lot of different funds and a lot of different investors. And you have a board of directors. And the job of the board of directors is to hold the CEO accountable. And they let it go on too long.
Do you think they did that because it was kind of his baby from the beginning?
I think it because people don't want to mess with the magic.
Right.
You get a unicorn that's worth, what was it worth, $10, $20 billion? And it becomes a verb. And a noun, right? When that happens, when you get into
heavy
Google territory, your name's used. They don't want to mess it up,
Turns out to be a mistake because it's probably going to cost them.
Absolutely, they perpetuated the problem. I mean, I'm not there, and I don't have the insight. Obviously, neither do you. But the standpoint of you have a board of directors, and their job is to hold management accountable, to hold the CEO accountable, and they were working with the CFO. I'm sure, right? They were working with the head of sales and marketing and development and IT. They didn't know what was going on there. They didn't want to mess it up, and instead, look what happened.
Are you less likely to take an Uber now?
Me personally,
yeah.
I haven't downloaded the other app, so
no?
I'm still taking Uber.
All right, you can use mine if you want to go somewhere
I'll
after
use
the
your
show.
Lyft.
I'll pay for you, right? Okay. It's not Lyft. Don't say Lyft. It's Uber. No, I'm kidding.
Right. To Uber, but you'd still
right
say I need an Uber. What
right
are you going to use?
No,
oh,
but,
I'm going to
use
Lyft.
Lyft is doing pretty well. I think
they're doing very well, and it's a culture and the mission driven. But ironically enough, people don't say I need to get a Lyft. They
no
still say I need an Uber,
and which is funny because they used to say I need to get a Lyft.
Yeah,
I mean, that was actually a phrase.
That's
right?
True. I never thought about it
yeah
like that.
Okay, so let's do this. The CEO, when you're there, and I mean, would he have served his company better, his future better, had he walked earlier?
Yes. And so what ends up happening is we're so blinded by the Zuckerbergs and the Howard Schultzes and the Michael Dells, who are founders who can run a multi-billion-dollar international company. But that's not the majority of entrepreneurs.
Right.
You can have a shelf life, and or being an idea person or running a small company doesn't mean you can go to the next level. Same thing with an employee, right? You have an employee who could manage a 5-person team. As the company grows, it doesn't mean they can manage a 500-person team.
Yeah, it's different with the guy, a CEO. Now, here, I've brought this up before recently. You know, I used to interview a lot of authors. Mm-hmm. They'd write these books, and everyone would say, it's like when you're in radio. You want to work in TV? You know, you'd write a book, and then they'd say, is ever going to make a movie of it?
Yep.
And so these authors would write this wonderful novel, and then they'd sell it to Hollywood, and then they had to sort of let it go.
Yes.
It took on a new formation, and that's difficult for a lot of people. I would imagine if you're creating a company from the ground, when it gets point to let it go, sometimes it's almost impossible to do.
Yeah, I mean, we do, you know, I have two sides on that. One is an entrepreneur and an equity holder in my own company and
yeah,
running
right.
it.
Okay, so what if someone coming to you and said, well, for the betterment of LaSalle Network, you need to step aside.
I say all the time, I look at it and I view it into twofold. One, I'm the owner and one, I'm the CEO. And I look and say, am I doing my job and is there somebody who can do it better? All the time. I ask myself that quarterly, right? Yeah, is there somebody else who could do my job better? And while I'm sure there is, I'm looking for
right,
it. No, I'm very confident in the
right
job.
Now, just,
I think at the moment.
Right now, just focus on the question. We'll get to the answer later.
Right. But on other issues, the interesting thing with an entrepreneur, he's still a shareholder, Steve. It wasn't about the money. It's about being able to look at it and say, ego aside, which is hard.
It is a tough thing.
Is there somebody better to do this job than me?
Tom LaSalle, the CEO. Tom LaSalle. My God. Maybe you can do this job better than me.
I should probably change my name.
Tom Gimbel, the CEO, founder, the creator, the man, the owner behind LaSalle Network. Thanks for coming by.
Always good to be with you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks very much, Ryan Burrow. Steve Bertrand here. It is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. All right, we'll talk about maybe some weekend music festivals coming up a little bit later in the half hour. Right now, Home Sweet Home, Barry Sterner, the CEO of Townstone Financial, is in the studio. Welcome back to the Business Lunch, Barry. Good to see you.
Great to be here, Steve.
All right, so there were some statistics out. Well, there have been a few reports out this week, but just today, new home sales rebounded around the country, right? Up when you take the country as a whole, South and West did especially well. The Midwest dropped 25.7%. And, you know, I keep hearing inventory. I don't know if that's what it's about or what do you think it's about?
I mean, under $500,000 right now is still a relatively hot market. I'm still seeing purchase contracts. We got two in this morning that are being crossed off where they're bidding on those particular values. But when you start getting above in the Chicagoland area, above $500,000, especially if you get to the $1 million range, and above right now, there's a little bit of, I don't want to say inventory, but there seems to be a holdup in sales right now. It's not as brisk as it was coming into the spring. I mean, anything that you were putting up for sale because of the inventory that you and I have been talking about for 2 years was being sold no matter the price. And the high end, maybe, and I hate to say that's overbuilt because when you look at the numbers, it's tough to say that, but maybe the high end is getting to that point where it's slightly being overbuilt.
Okay, so maybe you're telling me two things. When you're at 500 and below, there aren't enough houses to sell. At a million and above, people just aren't buying them?
Absolutely.
And
what would the reason be? I don't know, because you got the stock market at new highs. You would think that the people that are better well off are making a lot of money right now and would be buying. I don't know what the reason is. I'm just telling you exactly. I'm seeing the same thing. And I'll say one more thing for the lower end. As when the numbers came out today, I was looking. Something happened the week before Memorial Day. I thought everybody was out of town, but things did slow down.
Really?
And they still have slowed down. Maybe the beautiful weather, everybody's out right now and not worrying about buying a home, but things have slowed down from a pace that was probably unable to substantiate that particular pace because when we rolled out of January, things were hot.
When you look at it, because we're coming into the summer I'm thinking is a pretty big market for this time, a pretty big season.
Absolutely.
And so if the people, and Dennis Rodkin comes in and we talk about the fact, we just talked about how Chicago, the area, leads the country when it comes to raw number of homes that are still underwater.
Yes.
Do you think that's what's keeping people from putting their homes on the market?
I get the call virtually 3-4 times a week, the northern suburbs, the northwestern suburbs, the Gurneys, the Bloomingdales, the places out there still underwater, but getting much, much closer.
Yeah.
And I agree 100%. I don't know who the gentleman is. I hear him on the Noon Business Hour. You know, as we're getting to that point, and they can say to themselves, hey, I bought this house in 2008. I paid $300,000. I could sell it now for $300,000. They're willing to do it. But if it's at $290,000,
they're not going
to
do
it. I'm holding it because I'm losing $10,000.
And so then do you see, is there a pent-up demand for people who want to go out and buy homes? I mean,
there are so many people. I mean, as I've said many times on the show, there are so many people who have done pre-qualifications at Townstone, and I'm sure with many of the other lenders, that are out there looking for their home and can't seem to find exactly what they're looking for, which has a lot to do with, and you talk about it all the time here, you know, the state of Illinois school system here and what's going on in Chicago and some of the other funding issues that we have. It's very important to people who have children to live in a certain area, and those areas are very, very hard to find the houses.
It's got to be killing you. I mean, if you're
Absolutely.
Sitting here, you're ready to write these mortgages. You got people who want to take out mortgages, and it's kind of out of your control that they can't find a house to buy.
As of this morning, I had a list, and I go through it every week. I had a list over 100 people that I've done pre-qualifications for since January that I call, I don't want to say every week, but I'll email or talk to, that have not found a house yet for various reasons. Sometimes the reason is that they're unable to sell their house for the price that they want. There's still people out there trying to sell their houses for a value that is above what they can get.
You know, and going into this year, we might have been at this time having a conversation saying, well, the rising interest rate is keeping people from buying houses. The Fed has been increasing the rates, but the mortgage rates haven't been going up, right?
Well, that's a smile on my face, I guess. You know, we're under 4% for a 30-year fix. Who would have thought that? As soon as Trump got elected, the 10-year bond went over 2.6 in November. This morning, we were at 2.14, 2.15 on the 10-year. The 15-year fixed is now under 3.5. So the refinance business and the cash-out refinance business is back. And you also, when you're talking about buying a house, it's better for the person when they say, hey, I can get a 30-year fix for 3.75, 3.625, a 15-year for 3.375. You know, that makes their payments lower, and that allows them to qualify, obviously, for a bigger house.
Right, and so I'm thinking, well, if there was this imminent fear of rates going up, buyers would be more motivated to buy. But that's really not a problem, is it? That they're already motivated to buy. They just don't have inventory to buy.
It's always an interesting dynamic on Fed Day, which is usually on a Tuesday. On Fed Day or Tuesday, Wednesday, when they announce it. Usually before that, you know, CNBC, you guys, everybody, all the media, WGN is talking about rates going up. And I think it gets a few people to jump off the fence because they have the fear factor of rates going up. But then 2 days later, you know, when they start reading the articles that, yes, your home equity went up to 4.25, your car payment went up, but long-term rates went down, and home mortgage rates are still below 4. They're kind of ecstatic about that.
Are you surprised by that?
I'm not surprised about it, just due to, and I've been saying this since Trump got elected, and you and I have talked about this a little bit. I think we're still going to have gridlock in Washington, and gridlock in Washington means that all these programs, the tax programs, the buildings that they were supposed to do with all the roads, Obamacare and all the rest, how is anything going to get done? I mean, the approval rating of the president is still very, very low. And with that being said, I just don't see the economy booming. Plus, people forget, we haven't had a recession now since 2008.
We're overdue.
We're overdue.
I can't believe you just said that.
I don't want to jinx this or anything, but really, so the data that we got this morning, and most of the data, other than some of the wage data that we've seen and employment data, there's really no inflation there. If you read the Fed's minutes, they're really not too concerned about inflation.
Our property tax bills are coming out, or if they're not in the mail, they will be soon. And
July 1st, when you probably right around the 4th of July, you'll get them.
You can tell because postal carriers will be collapsing.
Yes,
the weight of those bills.
Exactly.
So what happens there? So I would imagine if you're sitting on a mortgage, this might be an idea, refinance to try to offset some of that.
Absolutely. I mean, right now, I mean, Cook County is going up. Lake, Gurnee, and all the rest of the collar counties all went up in June. And the Cook County tax bills, I mean, we're heading towards 2% of your property value in general here. Cook County's had the lowest taxes for all the collar counties right now. And from what I'm hearing, obviously I haven't seen a tax bill yet. When you start talking about going up 20-30%, as the Tribune wrote, you know, the last few weeks about what's going to be happening here, that's a scary number. So if you have to pay your tax bill and you have equity in your house, it's gone up 20-30%, give me a call at 312-896-2110, and we'll be happy to go over your situation and see if we can get some cash out and pay that tax bill.
Barry Sterner, the CEO of Townstone Financial. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
12:52. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN, a Friday afternoon. All right, you heard Jim Ryan say just a couple of minutes ago, the Lake Shake is getting underway in an hour or so from now. There are a lot of festivals. It looks like summer, what you do now is you go to music festivals. Front Row Phyllis does. That's all she does all summer, goes to music festivals, except she squeezes us in every once in a while. Welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thank you.
It really has become the music industry, the music sort of entertainment venue. It's become all about these festivals now.
Right, right. It has become all about the festivals. And this is actually one of the biggest country festivals all summer. So you want to check that out. It starts, like you said, later today, and it runs through Sunday. And the lineup is huge. You got everybody from Miranda Lambert, Rascal Flatts, Little Big Town, Chase Rice,
wow,
Thomas Rhett. And then what's so great is, so they have two stages. They have the main stage.
And it's at Northerly Island,
it's
right?
It's at Northerly okay. Island, which is so beautiful. And so you got the main stage, and then you also have a stage called Next to Nashville. So it's some of these up-and-coming artists that, like, in a year from now, you're going to go, oh, my God, I saw her for the first time,
right,
or him for the first time here. So,
so
yeah.
I know that country music sells pretty well in Chicago.
Yes.
Is it sold out, or are there still tickets?
No, tickets are still available.
Oh, really? Okay,
oh, yeah.
Cool.
You could get either a one-day pass or a three-day pass. So, yeah, tickets are still available for that.
Outstanding. So there's that one. And then let's go down the lake a little bit more to Mambi on the Beach.
Mambi on the Beach.
Okay,
is...
Phyllis, wait a minute, Phyllis. You have to school me on Mambi on the Beach, because I'm not up to speed on this one at all.
Oh, okay. So here's what it is. It's actually the only beachside summer music festival, and it takes place over at Oakwood Beach. So, you know, it's actually their third year.
Oakwood, that's like almost just a little south of McCormick Place, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So it's, you know what, it's going to be, I mean, so it's their third year, and it gets bigger and bigger, like we were talking about, every year.
Right.
So the lineup this year is huge, because it's 2 days. That starts tomorrow and on Sunday.
Is Walk the Moon going to be there this year?
They are going to be there. How'd you know?
As you just told me.
Walk the Moon, Mr. Wives, Local Natives, as well as Sir the Baptist, and plenty more. So you want to check that out. They're also going to throw in, there's going to be yoga and volleyball, as well as some wellness workshops. So it's actually, it's a great way to just hang out outdoors all, you know, this weekend and just enjoy the music and some other stuff.
Well, the cool thing is, I mean, Lollapalooza is the big one, but there are a lot of others to choose from as well. Right?
Oh, yeah. And it goes on all summer long.
You know, I'm a huge Ravinia fan. I love Ravinia.
Yeah.
And I think Common is there this weekend.
Yeah, Common is actually going to be there tomorrow evening. And this is his debut appearance, which
at
is Ravinia. Kind of...
Yeah,
at Ravinia, which is kind of surprising since he's a Chicago native. And he does a lot for the city. So we're pretty excited to have him over there tomorrow evening. And, you know, he does that big Ah Festival, which takes place September 24th this year.
Okay.
But you'll get a chance to see him tomorrow night up close.
I mean, because he, what's the word? I don't want to say Renaissance man. But he is one of those guys who's around right now who can do so many different things so well that it's really, I think it'd be something to check out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a poet. He's
Jack
a
of all trades. Thank you, Bennett.
Yeah. Jack of all trades. Yeah.
But he does them well.
He does. He does pretty much anything that he touches, he does it pretty well.
All right. I can't wait for Sunday. Sunday's the first time my whole family together, we're going to be in the Gay Pride Parade.
Oh, really?
With WGN. And
okay.
I've taken my son, I've taken my daughter, but we could never get everyone together. This year, we're going to all be together. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And
that
I would imagine
is.
That's probably going to be the headline of the weekend once they're cleaning up on Sunday night.
Right, exactly. So that is the 48th annual Pride Parade. And of course, that takes place on Broadway and Montrose. And it starts at noon. And this year's theme is Viva la Vida, Stand Up, Stand Proud.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll look for that. Tell me about your website. It'd be Front Row Phyllis. Where do people find it, and what's there when they get there?
So frontrowphyllis.com. And all this information we talk about, from concert updates to backstage live interviews I do, we do ticket giveaways, so we got all kinds of stuff going on.
And so compare for me, if you would. I mean, it must be interesting to hear a performer's work, their music, what they do.
Yes.
And then when you meet them and actually talk to them about it. I mean, do you ever find sometimes that the artist doesn't quite meet the art, or the art doesn't match the artist, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes that, you know, artists remember that they're different than celebrities, because they actually, it's just a stage, them, stage, music, and
right,
they're not great with conversation, let's just say. So sometimes it doesn't come off as great as it sounds.
Well, I'm sure it's fine. FrontRowPhyllis.com.
Right.
All right. We'll see you again soon.
See you soon.